I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down.
All right, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Got a lot of news to cover the next hour. Probably won't even be able to get to it all. But there's something I want to point out. I got a short segment here, but this is something I found interesting. For those of you who don't know, it was a press release here that was for immediate release from the office of the vice president, i.e. Dick Cheney, on July 31st, 2007. Dick Cheney in this, now I want you to listen very close to this because it's just an excerpt from him on the Larry King show on CNN. All right? The excerpt is very short, but what is said in here is extremely, it's exciting. Well, not exciting, but interesting. Excerpt. Question. Now, this is Larry King asking the question to Dick Cheney. Does it pain you when Brent Scowcroft says, "This is not the Dick Cheney I knew"? Dick Cheney's reply? Well... So Larry King continues, "I mean, you were close friends." Dick Cheney replies, "Sure, and I don't bear any grudges towards Brent. Brent doesn't walk in my shoes these days. He's not in the job I'm in. Get this one, folks. He's not responsible for making the decisions the president has had to make, and those of us who support him and advise him." Now, that was very carefully worded, but it tells me that he just admitted that he makes President Bush's decision for him. Now, there's one comment to this, and I want to read this because I agree with it. Cheney is telling us the obvious, but even so, the best thing you can say about him is that finally he has proven that there is something he shares with the general population, a total disrespect for the, quote, decider. The guy who has the audacity to call himself the President of the United States. I want to share with that with you. I found that very interesting that even though he didn't come right out and say so, the way the sentence was wording, it's pretty obvious that indeed Dick Cheney makes the decisions for the President and just basically hides behind the scenes. A couple quick notes here. You know, if you listen to Robbie Newell and Bob Chapman yesterday, you know what kind of peril this economy is in. But I find it interesting because Bob Chapman reports on this every week. There's a couple of the hedge funds that are being forced to sell. One of them's filing bankruptcy. This is not good for the economy. This was predicted, by the way, by Bob Chapman. So for those of you who don't listen, I would strongly advise you to listen to John Samuel's show every day, but especially on Tuesdays. I'm not going to read this whole article to you, but it says at the beginning of the summer, Sowood Capital, and by the way, I'm in the mortgage business, so I keep on top of this a little bit, folks. Sowood Capital was a $3 billion hedge fund run by a money manager who hailed from a team that built Harvard's endowment into a $30 billion giant that it is today. And yesterday, Sowood sent out a letter to investors indicating that heavy losses in the credit market had caused the fund to lose more than half its value, prompting it to sell its portfolio to another hedge fund and returning the remaining $1.5 billion to investors. Now, that's just one. That's Sowood, okay? I'm going to come up with another one here. Let me do this one first. American Home cannot fund its loans. I'll continue with that when we get back. I think I hear the music going here. Maybe I don't hear the music going here. Yes, I do. Be back in 3 minutes with more Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona.
Stay Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I was talking to you about SoWood, this mortgage company that just lost $1.5 billion and was sold out. And I mentioned to you that, you know, by all means, folks, you want to make sure and tune in to John Stadtmiller's show on Tuesdays, because Bob Chapman's on there, and he's been warning you about this for a long time. And me being in the mortgage business, I couldn't help but bringing this up, because you need, if you haven't already, it's time to give Robbie Noel a call and talk to him about buying some gold, because I'm going to cover a couple more of these. This is very, very, very serious, folks, and this is going to cause what could possibly be snowballing, rolling down the hill into the economic collapse. So let me continue with this. I'm not going to read it all. American Home can't fund its loans. American Home Mortgage Investment Corp., a large U.S. mortgage provider, said on Tuesday it can no longer fund home loans and may liquidate its assets, putting its survival in doubt. The Melville, New York-based real estate investment trust retained Milestone Advisors and Lazard to help it evaluate options and advise with respect to the sourcing of additional liquidity, including the orderly liquidation of its assets. Shares of American Home, which had not traded since Friday, sank $9.15 a share, and that equates to 87.4% of its value, down to $1.32 after the announcement. They had traded as high as $36.36 just as recently as last December, folks. American Homes' announcement shows how concerns about credit quality and homeowner defaults have spread beyond subprime lenders, which lend to people with weaker credit, to lenders that make higher quality loans. The chances are pretty high that the company either goes bankrupt or materially restructures, leaving little value for shareholders, said Bose George, an analyst at Keefe, Bruyette & Woods, Incorporated in New York. The article goes on, but I'm not going to continue with it because I've got yet another one here I want to bring to your attention, and that is Bear Stearns. Now, being in the mortgage business, I get an email every day from Bear Stearns, and they're always telling me what their rates are and so forth and so on. But I find it interesting. This is not, the Bear Stearns that sends me the emails every day that is always showing me what their rates are and showing me these sales pitches to try to get me to write loans and put it through their lenders. Here's an article out of, I believe it is, Time, in partnership with CNN. Two Bear Stearns companies' hedge funds, heavily exposed to the flagging mortgage industry, filed for bankruptcy protection late Tuesday, 2 weeks after the company told investors one was essentially worthless and the other had lost more than 90% of its value. The Bear Stearns High-Grade Structured Credit Strategies Master Fund Limited and the Bear Stearns High-Grade Structured Credit Strategies Enhanced Leverage Master Fund, which invested in securities backed by risky mortgages, filed for protection under Chapter 15 of the Bankruptcy Code, according to the court documents. And by the way, Chapter 15, I believe, is a corporate bankruptcy. And listen to this, folks. It goes on to say Chapter 15 covers cross-border petitions and was used because the funds are technically registered in the Cayman Islands. Isn't that interesting? Why would these funds be technically registered in the Cayman Islands? Food for thought, isn't it? At any rate, folks, as I said before, if you haven't already, you need to be giving Robbie Noel a call. And if you've got some funds, you know, stashed away in an annuity, or you have some savings, or stocks, bonds, or whatever, you need to start thinking real seriously about liquidating these funds and giving Robbie a call and finding out where you can put this and how you can protect it. Because I'm telling you right now, this is the snowball that is rolling downhill. Now, I'm not done yet. That's not all of it, okay? And I don't mean to sound like Robbie Noel or Bob Chapman, because believe me, I am not an expert when it comes to gold. But added with the added weight to this, I wanted to mention that, you know, we've been hearing the war drums beating regarding Iraq, and we're going to go in there because they're going to have an atom bomb next week or whatever, okay? And I was going as far back as when I was on KFNX in Phoenix. I was talking about this. Not only do we have this major threat to the U.S. economy by these hedge funds that are filing for bankruptcy and causing a big wave, a down dip in the housing market as an offshoot, I mean, the mortgages are tightening up like nobody's business, folks. But get this, all right? This is most likely, and I reported this last year, this is more than likely the real reason why we're banging the war drums to go into Iraq. And that is Iran's oil bore. And that's Iran's oil bores. Now, for those of you who don't know, an oil bores is like a stock exchange. It says, while Iran's, by the way, this is out of World Press, okay, while Iran's nuclear program has become a major focus of the international media, there are many who, and I'm one of them, by the way, there are many who strongly believe that the program is only a cover for the U.S. government's true motive in a possible attack against Iran. What some analysts posit as the real concern for the United States is Iran's plan to open its own oil exchange. And by the way, that's exactly what Saddam Hussein was doing just before we attacked them. He was doing his sales of oil for food program, and he was accepting euros, even at a time when the euro was only trading at about 70 cents, I believe, to an American dollar, and now they're up to about $1.38 or $1.39. Anyway, let me go on here. What some analysts posit as a real concern for the United States is Iran's plan to open its own oil exchange, the Iranian Oil Board, with the alleged goal of becoming the dominant center of the Middle East's oil trade. What makes the Iran Oil Board the subject of such interest by the American government? According to rumors, which first vaulted the issue into the spotlight, the financial exchange in the aforementioned bourse will trade for oil in euros instead of the U.S. dollar. The dollar has long been the dominant currency for the international oil trade. Now, is this a threat to the U.S. economy? I mean, let's put this on top of these hedge funds, folks, and these companies that are filing bankruptcy. The debate over the ultimate financial impact of trading oil in euros rather than dollars is a complex one, but according to some experts, such a move could lead to a huge drop in value for the American currency, potentially putting the U.S. economy in its greatest crisis since the Depression era of the 1930s. The Iran oil bourse has been on Iran's domestic agenda for quite some time, and different dates have formally been announced for its opening, all of which have been quietly disavowed as the deadline neared. Now, March 20th, the most recent rumored date, was the first day of the Persian calendar year. The Iranian Oil Ministry's Public Relations Department has denied that the date corresponded to the opening of the bourse and has mostly remained silent about the existence of such a program. Of course, the effectiveness of the Iran oil bourse will depend on whether the big international oil trading companies decide to accept deals in euros or not. However, the potential financial impact on the U.S. economy remains more than just idle speculation. The weapons of oil in the hands of Iran's regime is more dangerous than any other weapon, said a recently published article in Italy's Panorama News magazine. Iran's deputy oil minister, Mohammad Javad Asimipour, director of the Iran Oil Board's program, told Panorama that the oil trading center, due to open in a few months, will turn Iran into a major oil exchange port. Iran's oil exchange with the region's countries and also some of East Asia's states will take place in euros instead of the United States dollars, said the same guy, Asimipour. Some of the major oil-producing countries, such as Venezuela, which has boosted its economic ties to Iran, and a few of the larger oil-consuming countries, most notably China and India, have already announced their support for the Iran oil bourse. China and India, along with Russia, are powers that have at various times backed Iran's right to establish its own nuclear program. There is speculation that the Iran oil bourse represents Iran's plan to escape any possible future economic sanctions spearheaded by the United States. However, some postulate that the plan could also endanger the continued existence of Iran's regime. William Clark, an American security expert, predicted that if Iran threatened the hegemony of the U.S. dollar in the international oil market, the White House would immediately order a military attack against it. Now, again, I want to remind people, this is the same thing that Saddam Hussein did, and I believe that was the tipping point. That's what tossed Saddam Hussein over the edge when he started accepting euros instead of dollars in his oil for food program. That's when we went in there. It wasn't because he had weapons of mass destruction, because we knew he didn't have any. And by the way, the ones he did have, we gave him to begin with. You see the duplicity of this government? Let me continue with this. A number of economists believe that establishing the bourse will prove to be an impossible task for Iran. I don't buy that, okay? I don't believe it's impossible. I think it's highly possible, if not probable. More than 68% of the global international oil exchange is in U.S. dollars, and by abandoning dollars, Iran will put its own economy in greater danger, said an unnamed Iranian professor of economics in Paris. Other experts believe that even if the Iran oil bourse commences operation, there is not much harm it can do to the United States economy, and I don't agree with that, folks. I believe that there is. And the reason I believe that there is, because I believe that this is the reason why we're banging the war drums to go into Iran, and if it didn't pose any problem, we wouldn't be banging the drums so hard. Given the fact that Iran's share of the international oil market is somewhere around 5%, I do not believe that it can really absorb enough customers around the globe, said Russian economist Natalia Ardova. And Iran's unstable political system is another option. I'm not even going to go any further with this. Bottom line is this, is that the reason, or one of the main reasons, that we're banging the war drums on Iran is because of this situation with this oil bourse. I am convinced of that. Now, there may be other reasons, but I'll guarantee you this one is on the top of the list, the same thing that Saddam Hussein did. Okay, so much for that one, and so much for that. I got so much going on here. By the way, the phone lines are open if you want to call in. It's 800-313-9443. Call in with a question or comment if you want. because I want got a break coming up. Got more when I get back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Stick with me. We'll be back in three.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I want to continue. I've got a lot of news to cover. What's interesting is I ran across an article that is from Thomas Paine's Corner. It's called Deranged or Delusional? Not. And this is pretty interesting. It's by Steve Jonas yesterday. Let me read this to you. Peggy Noonan was perhaps the paramount hagiographer of Ronald Reagan, perhaps the most influential creator of the Reagan myth. Peggy Noonan is currently a contributing editor for the Wall Street Journal in a column entitled American Grit, posted on theopinionjournal.com on Friday, July 13, 2007. Noonan had this to say, in part, about George Bush. I found myself Thursday watching President Bush's news conference and thinking about what it is about him, real or perceived, that makes people who used to smile at the mention of his name now grit their teeth. I received an email before the news conference from a rock-ribbed Republican, as you can find. A Georgia woman, middle-aged, entrepreneurial, who'd previously supported him. She said she'd had it. Americans have always been somewhat romantic about the meeting of our country, but they like the president to be cool-eyed, a cool-eyed realist,
the tough customer who understands harsh realities. With Mr. Bush, it is the people who are forced to be cool-eyed and realistic. He's the one who goes off on the toots. He's the one who goes off on the toots? This is Peggy Noonan speaking, folks. He must be deranged or delusional, according to her. That's the only possible explanation for what Noonan describes as his seemingly effortless high spirits. Is she looking at the same guy I'm looking at? His certain steely good cheer, isn't it? But hold on. We've got the alternative view of the New York Times columnist David Brooks, who seems to be vying for the position of paramount hagiographer of George W. Bush. In his column of July 17, 2007, Heroes in History, he tells us that in an interview at the White House, Bush was assertive and good-humored. His self-confidence is the most remarkable feature of his presidency. Far from being delusional, he has an unconquerable faith in the righteousness of his big idea. Bush is convinced that history is moving in the direction of democracy. Or as he said Friday, I do believe there is an Almighty, and I believe a gift of that Almighty to all is freedom. And I will tell you that it is a principle that no one can convince me that doesn't exist. And so, Bush remains energized by the power of the presidency. Exactly so, folks. Not only does this man remain energized by the power of his presidency, but also he is using it to fare thee well. Whether the power he is exerting because there is no one there who can stop him are described in Article 2 of the Constitution or not, he is neither deranged nor delusional. He's right on track. Now listen close. In fact, what the heck is that? In fact, it is probably to his benefit that the critics are focusing on deranged or delusional because it distracts most of them from seeing what is really going on under the Bush policies, both foreign and domestic. Of course, those policies have nothing to do, either at home or abroad, with moving in direction of democracy. We know exactly what George Bush's view is of democracy, and it has nothing to do with freedom, which he is moving as fast as he can to totally stamp out right here in River City. Almost every week now comes a new executive order on top of the Patriot Act and the Military Commissions Act and the warrantless searches and so on and so forth. Under the Bush grants himself increasing power to drown out what is left of American democracy in Grover Norquist's bathtub. The latest is an executive order under which Bush has granted to himself the power to take the property of anyone he deems a terrorist or an abettor on terrorism. By extension, it is obvious that spreading democracy has nothing to do with his Iraq policy. The delusional one in this case is David Brooks. In fact, it is highly likely Bush cares not a whit about Iraq itself or the Iraqi people themselves. What he does care about is the ongoing American presence in Iraq, the ongoing violence in Iraq, yes, the creation of new potential terrorists in Iraq, the creation of a new bunch of something that labels itself Al-Qaeda in Iraq, even if bin Laden's base is somewhere in the territory of the U.S. or the ally Pakistan. As I've said this before, and I'll say it again, folks, if you look at the policy and you look at its implementation since the invasion, there's only one conclusion. The chaos is by design. The goal is permanent war. The reason for permanent war is that it is the only route to the establishment of the permanent Republican presidency. The ultimate goal of Bush, Cheney, and Rove. How the White House will manipulate events and emotions to maintain GOP executive branch control in 2008. The reason Bush will not negotiate with anybody, much less Democrats, on any plan for Iraq withdrawal is that for Bush, withdrawal is simply not on the table. Most of his critics on our side and increasingly among Republicans such as Noonan think Bush is delusional or deranged when it comes to Iraq policy. No, folks, it is his critics who are being delusional when they think he continues to pursue his policy because he's delusional. He ain't. We are. We're going to be able to beat him only when we recognize that fact. Now, oh so obviously staring us in the face, we only need to see it. You know, very well written article, and I have to agree. This is by design. Now, he comes off as looking rather delusional, and sometimes he looks like an idiot. And he stutters and stammers, and he gets up, and he sometimes can't even put a sentence together. But remember, he's a puppet. He's put there by design. And I'll guarantee you that the moves that are being made in Iraq, and it's not a war, by the way. You all know it's an occupation, okay? But they continually step up the, quote, surge, or, in another word, the strategy, and they're putting more troops in there. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I got more when we get back. Stick with me.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I've got a heck of a lot more news to cover. I'm going to take a quick call here. Richard from Alabama, you're on with Michael. Go ahead, sir.
I've tried to call Frosty Woolridge and John Statmuller about this subject, and they're not very interested in listening to it.
What subject is that, Richard?
The fact that our government will not issue documentation to white Americans, documenting them as citizens of any sovereign nation. Instead, we get our U.S. corporate citizenship document, mm-hmm. meaning that we have no right to dispute the Rule 12b claim that must exist from the International Monetary Fund for all the traffic courts to get jurisdiction over us. All these Mexicans come in, and they have a right to have a non-attorney counsel from their consulate. And they can beat the claim. They can beat jurisdiction. We can't do that. And it's all because Mexico is a sovereign nation and the United States is not.
Interesting. And so you've written email to John and Frosty about it and they haven't responded?
No, I've called them before and they're just not interested in listening to that.
Well, frankly, you know, the fact, and I'm sure that there's something to it. I will be honest with you, Richard, and tell you that I am not very knowledgeable in what you're speaking of, okay? So I wouldn't be the guy to go into a lengthy discussion about, because I'd sound like a fool, you know, but I would say, you know, stick with it. I don't, you know, if you've got something there, present it. You know, that'd be about the best I could tell you.
You can read Rule 12B in your state rules of court.
Now, does this have anything to do with the 14th Amendment? The 14th Amendment being the...
Well, indirectly it does.
Uh-huh.
The 14th Amendment got rid of our USA citizenship and gave us United States citizenship. You know, before Lincoln, the name of our nation was States of America.
Right.
And after the 14th Amendment, our nation became United States Incorporated. In other words, we were not a nation anymore.
Right, I understand that. Now, 12B, that's in the state regulations?
Yeah, it's in your state rules of court.
Okay.
The claim that must exist for the traffic court judge to get jurisdiction over the defendant.
Okay, so...
It's a claim from the International Monetary Fund.
Okay. Well, I tell you what I will do. I will look into that. I will look into it personally. Matter of fact, when I get off the air, I'll get online and see what I can find on it, Richard. Okay? That's the best I can do.
There's probably one in every state.
Okay. I will look for it. All right. Thank you very much for the call, and I will look into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Listen, I want to go into... here's an interesting one. Now, I was talking about... I had this article that I read here a little while ago talking about Bush being deranged or delusional. And this kind of ties right in with that, folks, because, you know, a lot of people say he's delusional, and I wouldn't put him in that category. He might be a little bit deranged, psychopathic maybe. He is a puppet. There is an agenda going on over there, and the longer that they continue this war in Iraq, the more windfall profits that are being made by the defense contractors, of who are his backslapping buddies. But let me read a few excerpts out of this article, which is very interesting. It says the United States loses 190,000 weapons in Iraq. The United States government cannot account for 190,000 weapons issued to Iraqi security forces in 2004 and 2005, says the Government Accountability Office. According to its July 31st report, the military cannot fully account for about 110,000 AK-47 assault rifles, 80,000 pistols, 135,000 items of body armor, and 115,000 helmets reported as issued to Iraqi forces. Now remember, Iraqi forces, that's the forces that were supposedly, you know, when they stand up, we'll stand down. Those are the people that we're supposed to be training that ultimately can step on their feet, quit crawling around, and start defending their country, right? Now remember that. Keep that in mind. The weapons disappeared from records between June of 2004 and September of 2005 as the military struggled to rebuild the disbanded Iraqi forces from scratch amid increasing attacks from Sunni insurgents and Shiite militias. Since 2004, the military has not consistently collected supporting records confirming the dates the equipment was received, the quantities of the equipment delivered, or the Iraqi units receiving the items, the report said. Right. Since 2006, the command has placed greater emphasis on collecting the supporting documents. However, the GAO's review of the January 2007 property books found continuing problems with missing and incomplete records. Well, they're really good at doing that when they have to, huh? It's only when it's about you paying them money that they have really, really good records. I'm sorry, I don't mean to get off on a tangent here. U.S. commanders often accuse foreign powers such as Iran of supplying arms to illegal militias fighting in Iraq. But the report shows they cannot fully account for the hundreds of thousands of weapons they brought in themselves. Interesting. Last month, Turkey raised concerns over reports that separatist Kurdish guerrillas launching cross-border raids from northern Iraq had received U.S.-supplied guns supposedly destined for Iraqi security forces. Brigadier General Kevin Bergner, spokesperson for the U.S.-led military in Iraq, said the Americans were working hard with their Iraqi partners to improve accountability and increase the security of weapons. We are working very hard with the government of Iraq and Iraqi security forces at every level to increase the accountability and increase the security of the weapons that are provided to the Iraqi forces, he said. The United States has spent $19.2 billion on Iraq's security forces since 2003 invasion to oust Saddam Hussein, with $2.8 billion devoted to equipping them. The report comes as U.S. President George W. Bush is under intense pressure from a Democrat-led Congress and critics within his own Republican Party to show progress in Iraq, with many in both parties calling for withdrawal. But the ability of Iraqi forces to stabilize the country in the wake of a U.S. troop drawdown has been called into question, most recently by a mid-July progress report issued by the White House. And remember when he came out with that? He said, well, you know, we got to put it off until Petraeus talks to us in September, maybe November. Drag your feet some more, Bush. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's government has made unsatisfactory progress towards increasing the number of Iraqi security forces units capable of operating independently, that report said. The report also found no momentum in the government of Iraq towards developing and implementing a comprehensive disarmament program for militia members from Iraqis' divided communities. 4 years after the 2003 U.S.-led invasion, the country is beset by several overlapping conflicts, and Iraqi security forces, particularly the police, are widely believed to be infiltrated by rival militias. You know what I think's going on, folks? You know, when they stand up, you remember when he said that? When they stand up, we'll stand down. So we bring all these weapons over there, and we train these guys. We give them helmets, we give them bulletproof vests, we give them guns, we give them, you know, pistols and rifles and all this stuff. And I think once they get up and running and they literally are confident in what they're doing, I think what they do is they run off and go with the insurgency. That's what I think. I don't know, I could be wrong, but, you know, if that were my country and it was being occupied by somebody I didn't want there, that's probably what I'd do. Moving right along. Got more here. Let's see. Give me a second. Oh, here's a good one. Well, do I want to read that one first, or do I want to go with this other one? Let me check. All right, let's start with this one first. This is from Marie Marchand. She's a guest columnist for Seattle PI.com. The president is threatening me. And this goes back, folks, to the executive order that he was signed on July 17th of this year, where he's now saying that anybody that stands up, you take a sign out there and you object to the Iraqi war, they're going to seize your property. They're going to take everything you own, okay? Because you're not supposed to stand up and do that. Now, I have a question. Is the executive order that is signed by the president that says that you cannot speak your mind, that's a violation of the First Amendment, right to free speech, isn't it? So does that not make the executive order signed on July 17th unconstitutional? Does it not make it just null and void because it conflicts with the Constitution? I guess that's something that remains to be seen by a higher-level court. Anyway, let me get into this. Now, this is by Mary Marchand. In case I get picked up, and by the way, I'm right on her side in this, folks, because I'm speaking out. I could get all my assets seized, which, by the way, I don't have any. So it's easier to speak out. But at any rate, in case I get picked up and taken away under President Bush's Military Commissions Act of October 2006, I want it on the record that I am not a terrorist or an enemy combatant, and that the organization I run in Bellingham is not associated with any terrorist cell. The Whatcom Peace and Justice Center works nonviolently to end the U.S. wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. It is committed to envisioning creating a world for our children where diplomacy and friendship are the measuring stick for our foreign policy. We have never intended, planned, or considered violence as a means to peace. In case my assets, which are few, I'm right on the same page with her there, get seized and my hard drive gets robbed under Bush's new executive order of July 17, 2007, I want you to know my name so that I am not disappeared. I have a 6-year-old son to raise, and like so many intelligent, passionate peace activists, the world needs me to be a leader in ending my country's imperial addiction to warfare. The new executive order blocks property of certain people who undermine efforts to promote economic reconstruction and political reform in Iraq. Its language leaves the door dangerously open to broad and flagrant interpretation that could label as a terrorist suspect anyone who holds a political viewpoint opposite that of the White House. Yeah, that includes me and all of you guys out there that are awake. There's no doubt that the administration preys on our civil liberties and that the effects of unjust policies filter down to the local level. In 2003, a Quaker meeting house in Florida was put under surveillance through the Pentagon's domestic spying program and labeled a threat. But Quakerism is a religion of pacifism. Naturally, they would be against war. But Department of Defense spying on a group of draft counselors? I mean, come on. In 2004, the FBI approached the Whatcom County Library in Deming with a grand jury subpoena demanding librarians turn over the names and contact information of every person who checked out Bin Laden, the man who declared war on America, which is another farce. The library pursued legal action, and the FBI eventually withdrew the subpoena. The director of the Whatcom County Library System, Jane Arioldi, received a human rights award for refusing to hand over patrons' private information. Libraries are a haven where people should be able to seek whatever information they want and pursue without any threat of government intervention, Arioldi said. And she was right. When our government no longer equates terrorism with violence, but with the perceived threat of an unsubstantiated rumor of intent to pose a significant risk of committing an act or acts of violence that have the purpose or effect of threatening the peace or stability of the Iraq or the government, or when nonviolent pacifism is misconstrued as a tactic that undermines national security, no one, and I repeat this, folks, no one is exempt from capture, detention, and possible torture. Can you say selective enforcement? I thought you could. I perceive Bush's July 17th executive order as a personal threat, and so do I, by the way. When someone makes a threat, their intention is often to scare, isolate, and subdue the other person into silence through fear. I will not be silent. Marie, neither will I. Do I sound like I'm silent? I'm mad, but I'm not silent. Like millions of dissenters around the world, I want my name to be included among those who resisted those unjust policies and decrees. Right on. The American people must have the courage to resist. And I'm not just talking about me, and I'm not just talking about Marie. I'm talking about all you guys out there. It isn't your duty to just shut up about this. It is your duty to speak out about this. Otherwise, our friends and neighbors, those people down there that you're inviting over for barbecues that are you're trying to wake up, okay? Our friends and neighbors may begin to disappear. This happened in Nazi Germany, folks, and it's happening again. We've got to put our foot down and stop this, and we do it by speaking out. Enough is enough. Otherwise, our friends and neighbors may begin to disappear, and we may not hear them being carted off in the middle of the night. As a patriotic American who holds steadfast to the belief in justice, I do not accept Bush's threats to my constitutional and human rights passively. If I disappear, I disappear, but I will not go willingly, and I will not go unnamed, and neither will I, Marie Marchand, and neither should you. For those of you that are not old enough to remember, but I know all of you out there, with the exception of the new listeners maybe, are educated enough to know this is the same agenda that they did in Nazi Germany, okay? They're looking for a way to seize your assets. They're looking for anything they can do to take what you've worked for all your life under color of law. And is it a constitutional law? No. It's an executive order by this deranged president. It's an order that he just signs. And by the way, I was watching one of my many videos that I watched last night, and I was thinking to myself, you know, what was it? It's like he's signing orders. If he believes it's against the Constitution, then he'll sign the order anyway, okay? And the last report that I had heard, which is about a year ago, he's done this over 800 times. Well, guess what? It's been updated, folks. This president has overstepped his bounds and stepped on the Constitution in these signing orders over, and ignored the law, by the way, over 1,200 times. 1,200 times. And he's still got a year and a half to go? Let's take a vote. How many of you think there actually is going to be a 2008 election based upon the arrogance of this fool? Well, I've called him a fool. He's not really a fool. He knows what he's doing. All right, let's get rid of that one. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get through all this. What have I got? I got a couple of minutes of the break here. Jeez. Coming of age in Bush's America. Yeah, that takes me to see. It ties right into the next one. I hope I've got time for this. I want you to imagine for a moment being on the brink of adolescence in the year 2000, only minimally aware of the world around you, and really not into the foibles or politics of politicians. Life was what it was. And you took it pretty much for granted. In fact, for you and other young teens in the year 2000, things seemed pretty good and getting better because you were growing up in the richest and most powerful nation in the whole damn world. It wasn't a perfect place for sure, but it had potential. There were wrongs to be righted, but there was no real hope that things would only get better as years went on. And all in all, in the year 2000, being a kid in America was a good thing to be. Now, imagine that it is 7 years later and you've just grown into adulthood and you graduate to realize in a frighteningly short period of time that your entire world has become unraveled. In just 7 years, 7 years of his administration, everything good that once was there is gone, and your country has come apart at the seams before your very eyes. Really think about these last 7 years and recoil at what it actually means to have come of age in Bush's America. To assist your reality check, here's a short list of the mind-boggling transformations that have become standard operating procedure in the good old USA. The outcome of a presidential election can be decided by a handful of Supreme Court justices rather than the people. A president of the United States needs not speak honestly, coherently, or intelligently when not reading from a prepared text. It is acceptable for the president to be reviled around the globe and to be unable to travel anywhere without extraordinary protection from huge protests against his visits and his policies. Where it was once highly respected, the United States of America is now the most feared nation on earth. The U.S. can murder more civilians than all the world's terrorists combined and claim its actions are meant to liberate people. The major tools of executive governments are lies, secrecy, and the abuse of executive privilege. These methods are implemented under the guise of rational security in order to thwart any and all departmental oversight. I'll be back in three with the rest of this. Stick with me. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural.com.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
I was talking about what has changed in the 7 years or 6.5 years that Bush has been in office. And, folks, it's time to open your mouth. It's time to start telling people, I'm not done with this yet. Voting machines can be privately owned by members of one political party and need not have paper trails for verifying results. Elected leaders and their cohorts can lie with impunity to the American people and to the Congress, to the UN and the world. There's no oversight. There's no checks and balances. There's no mainstream media that will act as watchdogs for the people. The president can quietly override the will of the people by the use of signing statements. He can claim the authority to disobey hundreds of laws enacted by Congress, 1,200 to be exact, thereby asserting the power to set aside any statute when it conflicts with his personal interpretation of the Constitution. The 2001 attack on American soil needs not to be fully investigated, and the cause of the attacks, as explained by the president, must be believed without question. Gag me with a spoon. Any questions raised about that attack and all the evidence exposing the anomalies of that official story of what happened are nothing more than conspiracy theories raised by deranged people or those who sympathize with terrorists? Preemptive and preventive attacks on other nations that include use of nuclear weapons are legal tools of American foreign policy. Wars can be waged against benign nations that have never harmed the U.S. or posed any threat whatsoever to Americans or their allies. The reasons for invading and occupying non-threatening nations must not be challenged, even if they change dozens of times throughout the years of waging such a war. Soldiers can be sent to an immoral and unjust war with little planning and inadequate armor and unending redeployment. At the same time, veterans' health care is unimportant and can be shamefully administered. Terror threats can be fabricated at will to keep the public in a state of constant fear. Creating an illusory war on terror can be used to gain public support for a costly and failing war that reaps huge profits for private contractors. Americans and others living in the U.S. can be spied upon without probable cause and without the acquisition of warrants in defiance of existing FISA laws. Anyone could be declared an enemy combatant at the whim of the administration and could be confined indefinitely without being charged or having access to counsel. Torturing detainees in violation of the Geneva Convention is acceptable, and if in doubt, rendition to countries that will do the torturing is a viable alternative. There need be no accountability for anyone in or connected to the White House for inept performance, for disastrous decisions, or for criminal acts such as lying under oath, obstructing justice, or revealing identity of a covert CIA operative. Oh, man. Martial law can be declared at the discretion of the White House should it deem any emergency situation to exist. By official directive in such an emergency, all powers can be taken from the legislative and judicial branches and transferred to the president. Anyone who participates in or supports actions that are determined to interfere with the waging of war in Iraq can have all their personal assets confiscated without due process. It is not necessary for the person involved to know which organization or group is considered such interference. The use of stem cell from a discarded embryo in a petri dish for medical research is immoral, yet the death of hundreds of thousands of people in a senseless war of choice is moral? Family values translate into rejecting a woman, the right to privacy, and opposing marriage between people of the same sex? Empirical science can be invalidated by biblical precepts. Global warming, evolution are junk science, and on and on and on and on and on and on. Do you really need more examples to ponder? I don't think so. The distinction is clear. Coming of age in Bush's America means living with a new set of principles and practices that are diametrically opposed to those upon which this nation was founded. And if you haven't already, folks, if you haven't already started inviting your friends, neighbors, and relatives over and opening up their minds with freedom of the fascism, if you haven't already gotten out and started to talking to people about this, it's time you get up off your couch and do it. Because time is short, okay? There may not be another election. If this delusional idiot has his way, he will find an excuse to declare martial law. And guess what? When that happens, for all practical purposes, it's over. Please, please think about what's being said here. End of another day. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report with my friend John Stadtmiller. He'll be up with, I'm sure, what will be a great show. Stick around. I will see you tomorrow. Bye.
It's true.